Good morning. So, ladies and gentlemen, good morning, everyone. I hope the phones are working. They are. Are the phones working? Raise your hands if you hear me. Good. All right. So, welcome, everyone, to the World Trade Organization, and welcome to the 2014 Public Forum. I am really delighted to have all of you here today. This is the time of the year when we ask people from around the world, NGOs, academics, the private sector, the media, governments, international organizations, and members of the public to come to Geneva and set up shop in the WTO. Of course, our doors are never closed. They are always open. But this time is the time of the year when you hand you the keys. Over the next 3 days, there will be 68 sessions held here to discuss some of the big issues before us, all of these sessions organized by you. We will also have two plenary debates to be held here in this room today and tomorrow. And the debate's focus will be on what trade means for Africa tomorrow. As we have we also have a trade and people fair in the atrium, and I hope you'll have a time to visit it as well. So I urge all of you to get involved, to join in the discussions, and make your voices heard. We want to hear and we want to learn from all of you. The theme we are addressing this year is why trade matters to everyone. So let me explain why we chose this topic. We know that trade is a major contributor to global growth and that open economies tend to grow more rapidly than closed ones. But important as this is, the trade agenda of opening markets and promoting an interconnected global economy is not just about dollars and cents, or rands, or rupees, renminbis, pesos. Rather, this is about the quality of our lives. Trade matters to everyone because every day, for good or ill, it affects all of us. It affects the goods that we can buy and the prices that we pay for them. It affects our jobs and whether they will be there next year or whether they will still be there for the next generation. It affects the poorest the most. By boosting development, trade has helped to cut poverty around the world. For many, trade has meant better opportunities, better health care, better conditions in which to raise a family, and greater opportunities to lead healthy, productive lives. Moreover, by helping to build a peaceful relationship between nations, the trading system helps to provide a shelter of security and stability globally. This was part of the original vision for the system when it was established and conceived after the Second World War. So you might think, if this has been the case for years, why should we discuss it now? And the answer is quite simple. It's because trade is changing, and it's changing fast. Global trade reaches more people in more ways than it did just 20 years ago. This is partly because of the role that trade has played in the rapid growth of the emerging markets and of the South-South trade routes. But the story doesn't stop here. Developing nations are placing much greater emphasis on trade in their development plans. Patterns of production are changing, with a need for investments, domestic or foreign investments, that enable fuller participation in the global value chains. The goods we buy are coming from an ever more diverse range of sources, and therefore the structure of costs and the issues of labor and quality standards are ever more complex. This is bringing new opportunities and new challenges for every country around the world. Trade has become a matter of headlines and high politics once again. And inevitably, all this affects us, in turn, as individuals. And this is just not about trade changing. Our perceptions on trade are also shifting. A major study by the Pew Research Center found that the biggest supporters of trade today are not found in developed countries, as one might have expected in the past, not even in emerging economies. The big supporters are in the developing countries, on every front, on trade as a source of good, as a source of jobs, as a force to lower prices and increased wages. The greatest proportion of supporters were found in developing countries. This is a major shift, and I think that you can see this in the WTO. In the lead-up to our ministerial conference in Bali last year, the developing and least developed countries were among the leading voices in the debate, alongside the major developed economies. And this was reflected in the Bali package itself. It was reflected in the decisions that members took, some of which dealt solely with developing issues. And it was also reflected in the trade facilitation agreement. Firstly, because once implemented, the benefits will accrue mostly to developing countries. Secondly, because for the first time ever in the WTO, the agreement provides for assistance and support to help developing countries build the capacity that they need to implement that agreement. And thirdly, because developing countries are required to implement the agreement provisions only to the extent that they are ready to do so. Now, so it's not just about trade. Our perceptions of trade have changed, and the WTO has changed as well. More than ever, before all members have a stake and a say in what is being discussed, and therefore their citizens have a seat at the table as well. Our aim is to open markets, but it's also to support less developed countries to participate, to prevent harmful practices, and to provide a fair system with rules that are agreed by all, where disputes are settled in an open and transparent manner, and where everyone has a seat at the table. Now more than ever, our work here has the potential to touch the lives of almost everyone in the planet. So this is a great responsibility, and that's why we need to have this conversation over the next 3 days. I want to put the human dimension in the heart of our work and change the terms of the debate to change this organization. So this public forum is an opportunity to explore what our work really means by telling the stories of how trade and the multilateral trading system affects people's lives. Thank you for being here, for being part of this effort. We have a truly excellent lineup of speakers to help us start the conversation this morning. In just a few moments, the United Nations Secretary General, Ban Ki-moon, will be joining us to talk about the issues around trade and development in more detail. I understand that he has already touched down in Geneva, so he will be here with us shortly. And then I will hand over to our good friend, Julie Dituro, to moderate an interactive panel session and to welcome questions from you from the floor. On the panel, we have today Guy Ryder, the Director General of the International Labour Organization, to help us look more closely at the links between trade and employment. We also have Amanda Long, the Director General of Consumers International, to discuss what trade means for consumers. And finally, we have Robert Smith from the National Public Radio in the United States. Most of us in this room are wearing or carrying items which have been farmed, weaved, stitched, designed, assembled, produced around the world. But we haven't really traced each and every stage of their production. Now, Robert has, and that's why he's here today, to tell us about it, to tell us about the stories that he witnessed, and about some people that he met along the way. So welcome to you all. After the panel session, I will also be welcoming Deputy President of Kenya, Ruto, to close the debate this morning. But right now, I would start off with a message that was sent to us on video by the president of Chile, Michelle Bachelet. As an open economy, Chile has made remarkable progress in recent years, so I am very pleased that we have the benefit of President Bachelet's perspective on what trade means for her country. So let's watch the video.